Here he is, Bill Belichick, splendored in the Tony La Russa number 10 Cardinals game-worn jersey there. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Thanks,
good look.
Glenn. Michael, look. Teddy, how you guys doing?
See, we were remiss, and you reminded us. You came in and congratulated Teddy. You,
I was like, all God,
you,
what happened?
Somebody
all
you,
remembered.
Yeah, all you marathon
somebody
guys.
Remembered.
All you marathon guys, you know, you remember all. Well, Teddy, I read the paper this morning. I saw some Ethiopian guy won it, and I figured you didn't win.
No,
so.
he was about an hour ahead of me.
Kenyan. Was it?
Yes.
Kenyan. Was it a Kenyan guy? I thought it was an Ethiopian guy. I thought it was.
Usually the Kenyan. 2 hours, 10 minutes, 5 seconds. 13.1.
So what was your tough time?
2:10:05.
What was Heidi's time?
2:10:04.
That's awesome.
She's a beast.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
that's
Coach.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now, you did this before, right?
I've run a couple marathons, yeah, in my younger days.
See, I got to get on his level because that just running the half, my body survived. I was talking to Coach a break. Feet are sore, but feeling okay. Boston Marathon. For Teddy's team in the American.
Is that what you're going to run it?
Yes, I'm running the Boston Marathon.
What did you run, Bill? Which marathon did you run?
New Jersey, twice.
Oh, New Jersey,
yeah,
wow.
Twice. Yeah, the first year, you know, there's a long, maybe a half a mile finish line there in Liberty State Park by the Statue of Liberty. So, you know, you run down this grass area. But it's, you know, it's roped off, but it seems like it goes forever. I mean, at that point, that half a mile looks like, you know, 9 miles. But anyway, so as I'm crossing the finish line, you know, they announce, like, here comes, you know, number so-and-so, Teddy Bruschi. Whatever, here comes, you know, Joe Smith, the oldest runner in the marathon, 83 years old. I finished behind that guy. 83 years old. I couldn't beat him. Holy mackerel.
I was probably his, like, 20th marathon, too.
Yeah, probably. It was, but I was just happy to cross the line, believe me. But that's great. It's a great experience, and, you know. You say you've done it. You've been to Kilimanjaro?
Right.
Run a marathon? I mean, there you go. You're crossing the, you get that bucket list.
Bucket list here, right. been to Kilimanjaro and climbed it. I mean, I know. Some people go. He's climbed it.
Actually. Well, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
All right, let's get into yesterday's game. You said yesterday you had a good week of practice. Obviously, it resulted in win. You pleased? Did you make a lot of progress? Because I know that's how you look at this stuff. How much progress do you believe you made yesterday?
Well, I think we took a step. Yeah, I think we took a step. We, you know, every week's its own challenge, so there is carryover, but every week's a new week, so there really isn't. But I just thought in terms of our overall preparation, you know, trying to do things the way we wanted to do them wasn't perfect, but we did more things right than not right, and that showed up in the final result. So good week of practice, good week of preparation. I think we really understood what we were trying to do, and you know, everybody tried to do it. And in contrast, this will be the exact opposite of that situation with Dallas, because we don't know Dallas, we haven't played them, and you know, we aren't nearly as familiar with them as we were with the Jets. It's probably the team we're the most familiar with of all the teams we play, so it'd be a big different challenge for us this week. But good to get them, and players did a nice job. They really did. They showed a lot of mental and physical toughness in the game. You know, ran the ball and fought through a couple adverse situations where the Jets started to make a little run, come back, could have gotten ahead, or, you know, turned the tide there a little bit, but we were able to either stop them or drive the ball or, you know, make a play. So it was good.
You know, speaking of physical toughness and the ability to run the ball, I want to ask you about Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I've talked to you about him before, asked you about him before. Look, I'm not trying to put him in the Hall of Fame, but he's a guy who wasn't drafted and has turned himself into a pretty productive player. What was it? Was it just an oversight by the entire league, the reason he wasn't drafted out of Ole Miss, or is he doing something now that maybe he wasn't doing or didn't show the ability to do in college?
Well, no, I think, you know, we had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons at Mississippi in the SEC, and you know, with all due respect, he wasn't running behind the 7 blocks of granite either.
Right.
You know, so
from Fordham, right?
That's a lot of yards in that conference against some, you know, pretty athletic defenses, the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Floridas and so forth. So, I you know, probably as much as anything, you know, probably his 40 time coming out. You know, just people thought that, you know, he wasn't fast enough, and he's not, as you see, he's not the flashiest player, but he's really consistent. He's going forward. Doesn't lose yards very often, and, you know, he's tough. But he picked up a lot of blitzes yesterday, and, you know, caught the ball. So, hey, that's, you never know in the draft. You know, we've had plenty of guys on this team that weren't drafted that have come in and played a lot of football for us, and and like everybody else in the league. And we've had some odd draft choices that have played less than guys that weren't drafted. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, like one of the things I see on Benny, which makes him special and also, you know, puts him head and shoulders above some other running backs is his ability to finish runs. And yep. Especially down on the goal line, I think he carried Puha, I think, from like the 3 yard line in.
Yeah, he did. Right.
Yeah.
And he's got a good feel for the goal line and can get that yard. He's good short yardage and goal line back if, you know, if he can just get started. So he's done a good job for us.
Why does he never fumble? Is it protection of the ball, the way he handles it? Is he just conscious of it at all times? That's so unusual.
Well, you know, if you remember, he did fumble in a preseason game 2 years ago. We were going in for the winning field goal, and he fumbled on about the 20-yard line in preseason. And
yeah, bring up that
I was going to say. Let me guess. Did you bring that up a few times to him?
Well, you know, that's what we're all here for. It's a production business. And, you know, I think in a nice way, that was one of those of, you know, Benny, you're not going to be here long if that's what it's going to be. You know, there's nothing more important than the ball, you know, especially in that situation where we're, you know, really in position to win the game and turn it over with, I don't know, it was like 3 minutes ago in the game or something like that. So, you know, but we've all had those. You know, somewhere along the line, we've all made a mistake, and you learn from it, and you realize it's a critical thing. And you know what? He really, very seldom, even in practice, you know, he always secures the ball. And I know that was one of those plays that maybe that was a turning point for him. I remember talking to Ozzie when I was at Cleveland. You know, Ozzie Newsome fumbled his rookie year, and same kind of situation, lost the ball at the end of the game. They lost the game. And then whatever it was, 617 completions the rest of his career, never fumbled again.
Amazing.
Never again in whatever it was, 11 years. And so, you know, I took that from Ozzy. He was like, look, once you make it a priority, once you say this is the most important thing, I got the ball, I'm not going to lose it, I don't care what else happens, you know. And I've told that story many times to our team, but, I mean, it's you know.
Ben Jarvis, 406 and counting. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Bill, your ability offensively to like change momentums on defenses, like the hurry up. I'm talking about tempo. When you decide to go hurry up, is that game plan during the week, or you sort of make a sideline adjustment, halftime adjustment? Let's change the tempo on them, and then let's go that hurry up, because it looked like it worked well for you.
It did, Teddy, and we've done it in several games this year. You know, it's something we practice every week, as you know. You know, we have periods in practice where we work on that. And then it's kind of an in-game thing, sort of when we feel like is the right time to do it, based on whatever the factors are. It could be, you know, conditioning. It could be tempo. It could be communication. It could be, whatever it happens to be. So, and we try to make it something the defense can't really prepare for. They don't, you know, they don't know we're in it. They don't know we're not in it. So, you know, they got to work on it, and we've gotten good production from it.
The play to Welker, the long play to Welker, the pop pass down right. The middle of the field, that was coming out of half, I believe. And was that an adjustment you saw at how they bid on the play earlier in the game?
Actually, you know, we didn't run that play earlier. Well, I mean, we'd run it earlier, but not in this game. And then,
usually it's done in the red area.
You know, right.
That run play. The run play is.
Right.
That sets that play
right.
up.
Right. Which we ran later in the game, and they hit us for a no gain on it there right at the end of the game. But it was a play where we faked into the line, and Smith was covering a tight end who blocked, and then Revis was covering Welker. And so when Smith came up on the run, you know, Welker kind of split him, and I don't know whether Revis was supposed to stay with him or whether the safety was supposed to take that inside release and grab him, but. You know, Smith wasn't catching him, but, you know, Revis was, you know, he was fast enough to, you know, make up a couple yards there. But somehow they got a little miscommunication there when Smith stepped up on the play fake. So good throw by Tom and really a good adjustment by West to see that both the coverage players were low and he just split them. And, you know, Tom put it right there.
You know, I'm wondering, Bill, on the play by Branch, initially ruled a fumble, then you brought out the flag and it was reversed. Did you bring out, I just wondering about protocol, did you bring out the flag because you knew that didn't look right to me? I think he was down by contact. Or did you say, hey, we're at the 5 yard line or we're close to the goal? Might as well take a chance and see what happens. What was your thought process on throwing the flag?
Well, in that particular play, Michael, it looked like it was a close play. And since it was a change of possession, it took a little time. You know, they went out there, and I don't think I threw the flag until they were up on the ball. And our coaches upstairs had a chance to review it, And, you know, Ernie saw it, and he said, you know, that Branch's knee was down when Cromartie touched him. Now, had he gotten fully up off the ground, then it would have been a fumble. And, of course, the rule also is if you're changing the ball from your, let's say, your right hand to your left hand, that still is possession. And so I think that's what Deion was doing. He was kind of switching it from one hand to the other, and then Cromartie punched it out, but his knee was still on the ground when Cromartie punched the ball out of there. So Pace.
Right.
I'm sorry, when Pace punched it out. So, like I said, it looked like a close play, but then when they saw it on the review, they confirmed it, and so that's what we challenged it.
You know, just to follow up to that, you said Ernie. It's Ernie Adams. Doesn't Ernie know some of these plays? It's amazing his recall. He knows some of these plays off the top of his – I mean, some of these rules off the top of his head. It's uncanny, isn't it?
Well, he knows the rule book as well as certainly any person I know. And, you know, normally when you ask Ernie about a rule, he'll not only tell you what the rule is, but tell you that it's in, you know, what section it's in and – you know, what it refers to. And then there's another rule right with it that refers to something that's related, but it's different. And yeah, he's very, very thorough. So yeah, he has a great knowledge of the rules, but you know, more importantly, the interpretations and, you know, kind of what they'll call and what they won't. And, it was a little bit the same on the catch on the sideline. It looked like it was obviously a close play. On the review, it looked like his toe was on the line, but when Chung hit him, he bobbled the ball too. And so, right. I think they called his foot on the line, but in all honesty, I don't think he had possession of the ball, you know, clean possession when he was inbounds. Even if that foot had been inbounds, that ball still looked like it was moving to me when Chung hit him. So, but anyway, that was, a good big play for us too. Got us off the field there on third down, and, you know, we were able to get the ball back. That was, I think, Wes's punt return came after that.
How specific are you in these conversations? You obviously are challenging the play, but will you bring up the point, I think it's a possession thing, or I think his foot was out of bounds? Not that these guys can't figure it out,
but
you're leading them to where to go.
Yeah, well, they come over and they ask you what you're challenging, but as you know, Glenn, when you challenge a play, everything on the play is reviewable.
Right.
So, again, you could challenge his feet coming down, but they're also going to look at the bobbling of the ball or, you know, whatever else there is. If you're asking about a forward pass, then if there's something else that came up on the play, like 12 men on the field, well, that's part of the review too.
So you get the information, you decide to throw the flag, but this is a question I've always wanted to ask you, even when I was playing. Some coaches have their own personal preferences in the pocket, in the back, you know, the back pocket, in the front pocket, sock. You got to lift the pants sock up. You got to lift the pants leg up and go to the sock. Why the sock?
Well, you know, the first year we had when was that, like 2001? So whenever they started that.
Replay. Okay.
When they started replay, I had it in my pocket, and I reached in my pocket for, you know, the Sharpie marker. And when I pulled it out, the flag came out. I said, no, okay. I can't have that happen now. Because, I mean, there was a timeout. It didn't get called. But I said, look, I got to get this thing where, you know, I'm not going to inadvertently, you know, throw it out, because once it's out there, you know, you're so.
Yeah, because I always thought it had to be quick draw, man. You had it quick, just bam, right there, back pocket, throw it. But the whole lift, I mean, sometimes you take a little while, too. I mean, you take your time there lifting up that pant sock to pull down that
sock. Sometimes I'm not sure. But there are a number of times, really, that, you know, two things that come up on the challenges. One is, you think that the play should be ruled in your favor, but you just don't know whether or not you've got a good look at it, you know, whether it's going to show up on the replay. You know, like you might see it with your own eyes and say, geez, that ball was trapped. But then when they show the TV camera views, there's nothing that gives you as good a look at the play as what you personally had. And so, you're kind of in between challenge of, well, I think it's good, but I don't know whether the replays will confirm it. And then, of course, the other one is it's such a big play in the game that maybe you're only 25% sure that it's going to go in your favor anyway, but it's such a big play, maybe you don't need the timeout that much, and you say, well, let's just take a shot out of here and hope that there's something there that'll go in our favor. So but those are kind of the other two situations. It's easy when it's a close play and then, you know, somebody upstairs says, oh, I can see this clearly. This is, you know, this wasn't a fumble, or this guy's out of bounds. Right, those are the easy ones. It's the other ones that are tough.
You know, I remember, this doesn't have to be a somber note, because I'm sure you've had some interactions with him where he was able to inspire you or tell you something. But I remember when you guys were going out, and Teddy, you remember this too, going out to Oakland in 2002, the year after the so-called Tuck Rule game. And people were asking about Al Davis. You referred to him as Coach Davis. You knew he was a football guy, not just a guy who owned the team. Just tell us about some interactions or conversations you had with Al Davis that were able to help you understand football better or him better.
Well, you know, I've had several friends that have worked in that organization, so I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of some of the things they do there. He brought me out and I interviewed for the head coaching position after the 98 season. So I probably spent, you know, 20 hours in those 2 days talking to him, and it was all about football. It was all X's and O's. It was, you know, what are you going to do about this? How do you teach this? How do you teach that? What about this adjustment, that adjustment? How would you play this? You know, but as I said before, when I went out there and did that, he hasn't ever hired an offensive coach. I mean, it's been, you know, Flores and Gruden and Joe Bugle and Mike White and Shanahan and, you know, right down the line. I said, well, you know, what am I doing out here? You know, you're looking for an offensive coach. Well, I might do it differently this time. I said, oh, come on. And so, of course, he hired Gruden. But anyway, we talk very in-depth about football, X's and O's, players, building a team, drafting, pro personnel, you know, all the things that go into football as if two coaches would talk. And he shared some insight with me, not as, you know, I mean, he was asking most of the questions and I was trying to, you know, be a little coy with the answers there because honestly, I didn't think I was going to get that job anyway. But, so that was very, and then we've had a relationship since then and we've, you know, we've kind of stayed in touch and, you know, of course we've made some trades with them, the Gabriel trade, the Moss trade, the Seymour trade, you know, so, and there have been other conversations where we haven't made trades, but we've talked personnel and so forth. And, you know, even this summer when we talked, you know, around cutdown day, you know, he's such a sharp guy. I mean, you know, you're talking to him and he'll bring up, you know, well, how's that guy that was on your practice squad last year? Are you going to, and sometimes I'm kind of, oh yeah, okay, that, you know, guys that you forget about or guys that maybe, you know, last year's guy that, hey, you released them, but now he's with somebody else. And, hey, tell me about this guy. So his memory, his recall,
his gathering of information, right?
Yeah, but to be able to remember all of it. And you know, I mean, I'm a lot younger than he is, but, you know, he seems like he's got the ability to recall more names and more, you know, more specific information and all that. And you know, he's processing a lot of stuff anyway. So, you know, really sharp guy, totally committed to football. I mean, he's a football guy. You know, it's not about all the other stuff with him. It's about trying to win football games. They have their own way of doing it. They have their own style and so forth. And so, but the intent and the effort and you know, what he's contributed to the game and how, you know, enthusiastic his passion was for the game, that was inspirational. So I enjoyed those conversations with him.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look ahead to next week, the Dallas Cowboys invade Foxborough. That's coming up next. All right, back here on the Big Show, it's Patriots Monday, talking with the coach, Bill Belichick, Ordway, Holly, and, of course, Teddy Bruschi, our third man in. Dallas comes up this weekend. They had a bye week this past weekend, so they've had a chance to probably get to Miles Austin to practice today and Dez Bryant a little healthier. Did you ever think, Bill, that during the bye week that you had extra preparation time with your own team, that you felt that you were a little bit more prepared for that game than you would be for a normal week? Was there an advantage in preparation?
Well sure, yeah. I mean, you know, look, time is only what you make out of it, but if you have more time, you can use more time to work on specific things or situations or particular game plan. So, yeah, I think you do something to improve your team in that week, whatever it is, whether it's general or specific to the next team you play.
Is it even a full week now on how the buys handled now with the new CBA?
You know, it's 4 days, and I think that's pretty much what it was for just about everybody in the past, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, somewhere in that. I don't think we ever gave the players less than those 4 days off.
Really?
Well, it might be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then okay. Coming Monday. But I mean, it was
a long
week
there. I remember.
Teddy, you wanted to win before the bye.
I'm sensing a challenge flag coming up.
You
want to
win before the bye, based on the team, based on the time off. But yeah, that was always big.
That's pretty funny. Now, you know, I think it's a little overrated when we talk about guys who have been somewhere before. Like if there's a former Patriot playing with the Cowboys now, how much information can he pass on? I think that's overrated. But how about a coach? You know, Rob Ryan's a defensive coordinator. He was here as a coach for many years. He's familiar with some of the concepts. Is that pretty significant that their defensive coordinator has some familiarity in Patriots training?
Again, a lot's changed since when Rob was here. I mean, I think the more important thing is, you know, we played against Rob last year at Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, you know, that game I think has a lot more relevance than something that happened in 02 or 03. We know Rob's a, you know, very creative coach. He gives you a lot of different looks, you know, loves to bring pressure, just like his dad. And so and they've got very good players. They're very fast on defense. They have a very disruptive front, you know, with Spencer and Ware, the outside linebackers, Ratliff, a bunch of those guys inside, you know, good coverage players and good linebackers. So they, you know, they get to a lot of balls, and they put a lot of pressure on you. You've got to be patient. You got to, you know, you've really got to do a good job because they give you a lot of different looks preparation-wise. I mean, it's easy to, you know, make a mistake, turn somebody loose, get a strip sack, get a tip ball, interception, those kind of things. They make a lot of big plays.
Yeah, and I love watching Ware play. Does he remind you of anybody?
He's pretty good. He's really good. He's big. He's powerful. He's fast. He's quick. You see him run over big people. You see him run by them. He's can change directions quickly. You know, kind of Lawrence Taylor-ish. I don't know if he's quite as explosive as Taylor, but he's a very powerful guy.
You know, I remember when Parcells drafted him and doing an interview on draft day. I'll never forget this. And I can't remember, maybe it was Ed Werder interviewed him, saying, you know, why did you go with him? And he said, no, he kind of reminds me of a guy who coached in New York for many years. And I said, did he really just compare this kid to Lawrence Taylor? I mean, I know he's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not an outrageous comparison.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, what did he last? Like the 12th pick? Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Which, for that draft, was, I mean, we were picking pretty deep in it. I mean, we didn't really have any shot at him. But like, to me, he was, you know, one of the, you know, top three, four players in that draft. And that was a great pick by Bill. It was a great pick by him. And that guy's had a terrific career. And he's going strong. He really looks good.
And the more complex defensive coordinators want to make certain game plans versus certain teams, you need good linebackers to execute those. And I see a second-year player in Sean Lee making some good plays for the Dallas Cowboys. What do you see from him?
Yeah, just what you said. He's fast. He's very athletic. Smart guy. You know, Rob's defense involves a lot of checks and adjustments based on formation and those type of things. And Sean, you know, kind of looks like he's a big part of that, you know, kind of helps coordinate the front seven and the who's where, who's got who, whether to shift the line, those kind of things. And then the safety's handled in the secondary. But he looks active, very good pass defender, and an alert, aware guy that has a good sense of, you know, running the defense and making adjustments. Got good leadership, smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Changes in the offensive line. Of course, Colombo's gone, Garrard's gone. Tyron Smith, the right tackle they're raving about. What have you seen in him so far?
You know, terrific player. I mean, he was, I thought he was, you know, a tremendous player coming out of USC last year. Very athletic, light on his feet for a big man, and very powerful. You know, could play left tackle, could play right tackle. I mean, he's got really all the athletic skill that you could want with a good playing style, a good temperament. We brought him in and visited him here, and he's, you know, great kid, works hard, smart kid, you know, very, you know, football's high priority for him, and they're young on the offensive line, but they're like everywhere. They're pretty talented. I mean, they're talented at receiver, running back, offensive line, defense. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of good players, and they got a lot of young ones.
And after a bye, it looks like they're getting a little healthy. Miles Austin's probably going to be back from his hammy. Des Bryant with the quad, he should be 100%. But I look at that offense, and probably one of the main focuses should be the tight end.
Oh, absolutely. He's a very, really tough guy to match up against. You know, we see tough tight ends to match up against in practice, but, you know, Witten's right there with him. He's, you know, he's tough. And like you said, the receiver core, the backs. You know, I think Romo be healthier than he was 2 weeks ago as well. I think that's a big part of it. And there's a guy that makes a lot of plays with his feet as well as with his arm. So, you know, they give you a lot to get ready for. They have a lot of talent.
The last thing I'll say is just watch out for Jesse Holly. I mean, yeah. I don't know, Bill. You just got to watch out for him. A little sneaky.
All right.
Great athlete.
Well, I still want to see.
It's the only Holly I can say that about.
I still want to see a DNA test before I really buy into that. One more question about Tony Romo, because he has had some injury problems, as you mentioned, and beaten up a little bit this year. He's a guy that at times is off the chart, making plays that you sit there and you marvel at, and other times seems to have some difficulty out there. How do you bring out that difficulty in a guy like that, that is so explosive, and as you talked about, working with his feet, can do so much out there?
Well, it's tough. It's tough, and he's got a lot of weapons. I mean, I think, you know, most importantly, just play good sound defense and good technique. Do your job. And, you know, you need all 11 guys doing it. You know, it's not one guy that's going to stop this offense. It's going to have to be all 11 guys, stopping the run, put pressure on the quarterback, covering the receivers, and doing those things on a consistent basis, trying to make him work, you know, make him, not make it easy for him to see what you're in, but make him recognize it, hopefully after the snap. But, you know, he's a very talented player, good player, and he's got a lot of weapons.
Yeah, Tony Romo, up and downs of Tony Romo, but the one thing I think he does, probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, are play fakes. I mean, unique about play action fakes, pump draws, things like that. Are keys going to be big to key on it? I mean, usually you're keying linemen and running backs, but with the pump fakes and the way that he uses his body, you're going to talk about keys to that defense this week with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the hard things with that is just our unfamiliarity with him and the entire team. And they have the same with us. I mean, it's, you know, it goes both ways. But, you really can, things like that, when you're playing a team twice a year repetitively, you know, those are almost second nature. And, you know, you've been doing them for two or three games and you're really familiar with them and comfortable. It's, you know, as you know, one thing to watch it on film, another thing to really see it out there on the field. And sometimes what looks like a good key on film isn't that good in the game. And sometimes you get things in the game that you don't really pick up on film. Playing a team that you don't know very well, doesn't know you, presents a lot of different challenges, completely different from playing the Jets.
Yeah, and a lot of players were always on their toes coming into meetings on Wednesday and Thursday, and had some of them, I won't name them, but had their playbooks open down at their feet because of various questions you would ask to start a week when you played a team that you were unfamiliar with. Players can possibly anticipate that this week.
Absolutely. They've already been told that. Yep.
That's how you got all those answers right, Brewski. You tell me you were cheating the whole time.
Is that how you did it?
Oh man!
You didn't you didn't write it on the palm sheet.
Yeah.
leading
special teams tackler, their nickel back, their starting right tackle if Smith goes down, things like that.
Right. Who the coordinators are?
There you go. It's a bonus question.
There you go.
See, we have all the questions. We're fine now. All right, Bill. Congratulations. Nice win. Big test next Sunday. We'll talk to you back here on Monday.
All right. Sounds good.
See you
then.
Okay. Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show. Quick break. We're right back.